We are privileged to have Brother Merv Lapp here from Trauger, Pennsylvania. He serves at Trauger Mennonite Church. And for you locals, another connection we have with Merv is that Nathan Utsi teaches at their school. So we wish him the Lord's blessing as he comes.
Greetings this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for the privilege, the opportunity we have of being with you here this morning. It's, I think, one of the very rare and few times I've been in Kansas, but it is a blessing, and I appreciate the hospitality that we've been showing while we're here. And a thank you to you for leaving Nathan come and teach for us. He has filled a very vital role in our school, and we're glad for his contribution there. For the message this morning, I've entitled it, An Encounter with God. And I'd like to look at the book of Jonah. As we think about our relationship with God, have you ever thought about, or have you ever tried to move God off of his throne, to put yourself there instead? Have you ever tried to disregard what God has said about himself because you thought you knew better? Well, every time that we sin, we do exactly that. We're telling God that he doesn't know what he's doing. We know better. We have a better way of doing it. And throughout the book of Jonah, we see Jonah doing that to God. And so I hope that we can learn from that as we go through this book and look at some of the specifics of what God did in the life of Jonah. And just like God has a purpose for each one of us, God had something specific for Jonah to do. And I want you to think about for your own life, what is it that God has for you to do? What is God asking you to do? What purpose does he have for you? And are you fulfilling that purpose that he has? Each one of us, I believe, has a purpose to fulfill. There are people that God wants you to minister to. And there are people in your circle of influence that I or anyone else may not ever be able to reach. There are people in my circle of influence that you will not be able to reach. And so God has something special for you to do. None of us are unimportant to God. In Jonah chapter 1, we have God coming to Jonah. And there were two things that God said to Jonah that he wanted him to do. God said, go to Nineveh and cry out against it. That was all that God asked Jonah to do. Go to these people, rebuke them for their sin. Call them to repentance. It was a specific call to Jonah. He was the only prophet that God asked to do that. And God tells Jonah why he wants him to go. He says, because he has seen the wickedness of those people. God saw what was going on in the world around him. And if I'm correct, in the scripture, this is the only record that we have of a prophet of Israel being sent to a heathen nation. Jonah, I believe, was sent to Nineveh not solely for the sake of Nineveh, But God had a purpose, something he wanted to teach his people by sending Jonah to this heathen nation. We see a heathen nation repenting under the preaching of a stranger, whereas God's own people were not repenting, even though God had sent them someone from among themselves over and over again. But Jonah responded by going the opposite direction. Jonah tried to decline the mission that God had for him. He headed to Tarshish. As I understand, in that day, Tarshish was thought to be towards the end of the earth. It seems as though Jonah's intention was to get as far away from Nineveh as he possibly could. But as we know, it was a futile attempt. God's will in this mission was sovereign. And he did not allow Jonah to go that direction. Jonah started out, God sent a great wind. And I have to wonder how many times that we go against what God says, how many times are we putting others in danger because of that? This storm not only affected Jonah, it affected everyone in that ship. Jonah's disobedience put the sailors in a dangerous position. They did their best to keep that ship afloat. And when all hope seemed to be lost, they finally listened to what Jonah had told them to do. Jonah had told them to throw him overboard. They tried desperately to avoid that. And when Jonah was thrown overboard, the sea was calmed. God, I think, was showing himself strong to those sailors. Jonah's resistance to God's call was the real problem. And we see the response of those sailors. They feared the Lord exceedingly, Scripture tells us. And they sacrificed to God and made promises to serve him. Interesting how God even used that situation to bring people to himself. But God had something to teach Jonah yet. And God had prepared a fish for Jonah's protection. God's intention was still to use Jonah to preach a message to the people of Nineveh. And while 3 days and three nights inside of that fish may have been difficult for Jonah, God had no intention of taking Jonah's life. God could have left him in that sea. God could have sent a shark. God had a purpose for Jonah's life. And God was in the business of breaking Jonah's will so that he would follow him. Something interesting as I studied this, thought about, at what point did God send that fish? Was it immediately? Or did God maybe allow Jonah to struggle a bit? Scripture doesn't tell us. But God did send that fish, and it was for Jonah's protection. It saved his life. In Jonah chapter 2, we have Jonah's prayer to God, crying out to God. Finally, it seems as though he understood what was going on. And God heard Jonah's prayer. just as he hears our prayers in our times of distress. And God, in his graciousness, will answer those prayers. He will hear those prayers in spite of our guilt. Jonah wasn't on his way to Nineveh when he was thrown overboard. In fact, he was running from God. He was guilty of disobedience. That was the whole reason he was where he found himself. We also see that God answers prayers for us in spite of his judgment. God will never bring affliction to our lives merely for the sake of punishment. God is interested in restoration. His purposes always include redemption. God still had that desire for Jonah to go to Nineveh. And we see that God spoke to that fish. God commanded the fish. And Jonah found himself on dry ground. Now, I don't think the 3 days and three nights had anything to do with how long it took the fish to get to the shore. But it was about God working in the heart of Jonah. Maybe it took that long for Jonah to really realize what was taking place and what he was doing. And then we come to Jonah chapter 3. And we have the word of the Lord coming to Jonah the second time. God reminding Jonah there's an unfinished task. How many times do we head the other direction when God has something for us to do? And we come up against storms. We come to a place where we come to the end of ourselves. But as we come back to God, I think he does exactly what he did in the life of Jonah. He brings us back. There's something that we need to do yet. God almost never allows us to take the next step until we've finished what he's given us to do. There's many Christians in our world today who want to be used by God. They want to hear from God. They want God to give them direction in life. But too often, they're not doing the plain and simple things that God has already revealed to them and asked them to do. Obedience to God is like running a hurdle race. I don't know if you've ever run a hurdle race or seen a hurdle race. But there's obstacles to jump over as you're running this race. And you need to take each hurdle in succession, or you become disqualified. I think it's the same way in our race of life. God has a succession for us to take. And he keeps bringing us back. If we get out of line, he keeps bringing us back to where we need to jump the next hurdle. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And the message was, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Did you notice maybe a bit slightly different from the first message that God gave to Jonah? In chapter 1, verse 2, God tells Jonah to preach against the city because of their wickedness. Now God is telling Jonah, you go and tell the people what I tell you to tell them. And by the way, this type of call is quite rare in the Old Testament. Nearly every mission in the Old Testament, every mission call in the Old Testament to the nations surrounding Israel was for them to come and see what God was doing among his people. But here the message is, as is more common in the New Testament, is that God commands Jonah to go and tell the message. I think too often in our modern day Christianity, we think it's enough to bring people into our churches. But really, if you think about it, that's the Old Testament way of doing things. God has designed the church primarily for training, equipping, and encouragement of believers so that they can then go and tell the message. God says, go and tell. And he's given us that command. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Our message, our call from God is to go and tell. As we continue the story, Jonah goes to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. One first century writer says that Nineveh and its suburbs may have measured about 60 miles in circumference. Quite large, especially for that day. And Jonah proclaimed the message that God gave him. And the message that God gave to Jonah to proclaim to the people of Nineveh was that yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh responded to that message. And they believed God. I find it interesting the way that they responded. And this is a call to us in leadership. They responded from the top down, from the greatest to the least. It started with the king, and the people followed. God sees their repentance. He sees them turning from their wicked ways. They are more than just sorry. They are repentant. They are turning from their sin. And we see God responding then and not destroying them. And that's all that we hear about Nineveh. And I want to propose to you this morning the book of Jonah that we have is not about Nineveh. The story of Jonah is about a man who God was pursuing. While God loved Nineveh, while God desires all people to turn to him, in this story we have God working with another purpose in mind. But to reach that purpose, Nineveh needed to repent. And I think that chapter 4 of Jonah is the real message that God had for the prophet Jonah and for us. And there are three questions that come to mind as we look at chapter 4. Jonah was told to go and preach as we would say, fire and brimstone to Nineveh. Now, Jonah knew that generally, when God sends someone to preach judgment against the nation, that that nation is destroyed. So the question that comes to mind is, why did Jonah not want to go to preach to the people of Nineveh? Why would Jonah rather die than be in obedience to God? And also, what is God trying to teach Jonah? What is God trying to teach us? God was after the heart of Jonah. These questions here are answered in this book, in this chapter, chapter 4. Now think about it. If you were called to go preach to a city, tell them to repent. God calls you into Hutchinson. Tell the city to repent, and the whole city turns to God. What would be your response? Wouldn't it be rejoicing? What was Jonah's response? Verse 1, chapter 4 of Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. We say, what's with you? Why that kind of response? One thing we have to keep in mind, the nation of Israel and the nation of Assyria were rivals. The people of Nineveh were very wicked, and they were a cruel people. And so we get the idea that Jonah was hoping that God would destroy them. And that, I think, gives us a picture as to why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. Jonah tells God in verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord. He said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? He says, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. What's Jonah telling God? He's saying, I didn't want to go because I knew you were a gracious God. I think Jonah understood. Jonah knew the scriptures. And we have God speaking to Moses in Exodus chapter 34, God, it says, and the Lord passed before him, that was Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. It simply boiled down to Jonah did not want God to show compassion to the people of Nineveh. Jonah didn't want the heathen nation of Assyria to receive the blessing and forgiveness from God. Seems as though Jonah had the idea that God's love and grace is wonderful as long as it's directed towards me and my people. But God showing mercy to the enemy, they don't deserve it. Well, the fact is that no one deserves the grace of God. And we forget that sometimes. Sometimes we expect things from God because we think we've earned it. Romans chapter 3 tells us, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Jonah seems to have the idea that the grace of God is earned. God is obligated to give his grace to those who merit it. And now that God has showed compassion to the enemy, to the people of Nineveh, Jonah would rather die. Maybe Jonah is afraid of what would happen when he goes back to Israel. He may be seen as a traitor. God was now blessing a people that they thought of as the scum of the earth. God doesn't leave Jonah there. God comes to Jonah with a question. He says, is it right for you to be angry? And we notice Jonah doesn't answer that question. Instead, he goes outside the city. He made himself a shelter. What was he expecting? Why didn't he just leave and go back home? Was he maybe hoping that God would change his mind and still destroy them? I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. And we see that God still isn't finished with Jonah. Verse 6, chapter 4, the Lord God prepared a gourd, made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd, but didn't stop there. God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Now Jonah was without his shade. Verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. God asks Jonah the second time, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry about that gourd, about that plant? And it seems as though Jonah's loaded. He's ready now. And he gives God an answer. He says, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Jonah is upset about a plant that died. He's so angry with God that he wants to die. I think there's a lesson for us. Do you ever get angry with God? When is it that we become angry with God? It's usually those times when we think we deserve something from God that we're not getting. Or we think someone else is unworthy. We're angry that God is blessing them with something they don't deserve. Or we become angry when God takes away some kind of blessing from us. Something that we think we still need. Something that he has no right to remove. Whether it's a loved one, whether it's our dreams, our plans, We also become angry when we're self-righteous. All of these were true of Jonah. And he was angry with God. And so it seems as though God finally has Jonah's attention. God has something to teach him. But you know, that's where the book of Jonah ends. We never get a response. We don't know what happened to Jonah. It seems to us the story really should have ended at the end of chapter 3. Yeah. Nineveh repented. No. This was a story about God dealing with a man. Jonah wanted the city to be destroyed. He wasn't concerned about one person in that city. But he cared for that plant. God tells Jonah, he says, you didn't cause that plant to grow, and yet you loved it. You wanted it to survive. God says, neither did you cause Nineveh to grow, and yet you wanted it destroyed. And God ends with a question. It's a question I think that we need to ask ourselves. God says to Jonah, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? I've often wondered what happened to Jonah from there. Did Jonah ever repent? Did Jonah ever learn his lesson? We don't know. But you know, the story is more than about Jonah. The story is about you and me. What about you? What would you do if you were in Jonah's place? What is it that God sees in your heart? What are your priorities in life? Who do you love? Who do you hate? Am I more concerned with our personal security and comfort than we are in helping others, in making sure that others hear the gospel message? What are you concerned about? And what is God concerned about? Do those two match? Do they come together? If those two don't come together, I think we better look at our own hearts. God is not so much concerned with where we are. He's maybe not even concerned so much about what we do, but he is concerned in who we are. And the question shouldn't so much be, where can God use me the most, but where can God change me the most? God's will is not necessarily a place, but God's will is a heart, a character. I showed to you this morning that God was after the heart of Jonah. He's still after the hearts of men and women today. He's after your heart. He wants my heart. And sometimes God asks us to do some things things that we may not necessarily enjoy. And it may even be that God asks us to do those not necessarily because he wants them done, but he wants to work in our heart. He wants to teach us something about who he is, about his character. He wants us to examine our motives and our fears, our willingness to be obedient to what he asks us to do. Remember, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Those that didn't accept him were those who thought they were righteous in themselves. They had their act together, but they missed the one who put the act together. So my plea to you this morning is, don't miss out on God's grace because you think you deserve it. Grace is not earned. Grace is given to those who know they don't deserve it. I think that is the lesson of the book of Jonah. It's the same lesson that Jesus taught. Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus tells us, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Have you encountered God? God wants you to impact the people that he's placed around you. The question that we need to ask ourselves, the question we need to answer is, am I available to accomplish that work? I invite you to stand for prayer. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for your love to us and to all mankind. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for his willingness to give his life so that we could have life eternal. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that works in our hearts today. And Father, I pray that our hearts would be in a condition that your Holy Spirit can work your will in our lives. May we be willing vessels to carry out the tasks that you call us to. Lord, I pray your blessing on each one here this morning, that each of us would find our way in doing your work, so that your kingdom could be built up. In Jesus' name, amen.